Well, I want to start our service this morning with prayer. And so if you'd bow your heads with me, we'll just ask God to bless this time. And then a little bit later, we'll have final prayer. And if you have prayer requests, you can send them to us while the service is ongoing. And I'll mention every one of those and pray specifically for every request. But right now, let's pray as we open our service. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you this morning as we come to another service. And Lord, we just thank you for those that have joined us this morning. How we long for the day that we'll be back together in this sanctuary, seeing one another, fellowshipping with one another, joining in worship to honor you as a local body. And so, Father, until that day, we just want to praise you and honor you and thank you for your majesty, your glory, your greatness, your omnipotence, omnipresence, your creator God. There is no God like you, and so we want to just exalt and magnify you this morning. We want to thank you also for all the mothers. We know that mothering today is such a challenge. It's always been, but certainly today. And we thank you for the mothers that have joined us today, and literally mothers all over the world, that you might bless them in a special way today. Give them great wisdom and discernment and understanding. Give them great faith as they, Lord, interact, bless, and lead their children. I pray that you will help them today, draw them closer to you, and give them a great day and, Lord, great days ahead. And Father, again, we pray for this service, these moments that we have together, that you'll bless the message, encourage today, draw each and every one to you. And Lord, if there's someone listening or watching today who does not know you as Savior, I pray today that something may be said or done in their heart that will draw them to you in the full saving pardon of their sins. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And again, we look forward to that day when we all can join together again as I stand here today in the auditorium, the sanctuary of Beacon Falls Congregational Church. And one day we look forward to all of us being back here and worshiping together. But I'm so thankful that you joined us today by Facebook Live. And if you'll turn your Bibles right now to Genesis chapter 18, I want to read to you beginning in verse 9, a few verses regarding our message today. It begins by saying this, verse 9, "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There, in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." Again, as we consider everything going on around us this morning, all the troubles that we are facing, an unprecedented time, with so many uncertain solutions. We see our president, our administration, trying to open up the economy a little bit, and all over the country, all over the world, trying to get back to some point of normalcy, but still really not knowing how fast, how far to go. And so these are very uncertain times, and yet I'm reminded and pass on to you that we have a God who is certain. The world may be uncertain, but God is certain. So these times call for unwavering great faith if we're going to navigate through it all successfully. And so we come to the testimony of Sarah. Sarah was the wife of the patriarch Abraham. Abraham was the man through whom God established the nation of Israel. She was a very beautiful woman. Even in her old age, the Bible says she was beautiful. And she, when God called Abraham to leave his family, leave his country, leave his friends, leave everything he knew, and to go to a place that God would show him of, she dutifully and faithfully accompanied Abraham to go all the way that God led him, all the way to Palestine. And in that whole process, God gave Abraham and Sarah a great promise. He said he would establish a nation through them, that all people who blessed them would be blessed by God, and all nations or all people that cursed them would be cursed by God. And so God was promising them in their old age a child. They would become parents in an age when many people were becoming grandparents. But as the years went by, that promise was not answered. And year after year after year passed, and Sarah, as many of us probably would, she became impatient of God's delays to this wonderful promise. Ultimately, she took things in her own hand, and she gave her maid Hagar to Abraham, where a son Ishmael was born by Hagar and Abraham. And perhaps Sarah and Abraham thought maybe that's the way God would answer his promise, but of course that was not. Ultimately, she became the mother of a son named Isaac, and ultimately she became the mother of nations. And so we come to this story where God's messenger, perhaps it was the Lord Jesus Christ himself in a pre-incarnate appearance, they announced again, repeated to Abraham and Sarah, that Abraham and Sarah would have a child in just a few months. And she laughed when she heard the promise repeated from these messengers. Now, as I think about the story, she could have as likely cried as to have laughed. Can you imagine having a baby at the age of 90? Unbelievable when you think of that, how God perhaps had a sense of humor. You're at an age when many become grandparents, even older than that. They were going to have their first child when the mother was 90 and the father was 100. But as you look at her story, she's revered as one of the great ladies of Jewish history. One of the great ladies. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 51, verse 2, God says, "Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who gave you birth. When I called him, he was but one, and I blessed and made him many." Romans 4:19 said, "Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead." Romans 9:9, he says, "For this how the promise was stated, at the appointed time I will return, and Sarah will have a son." And finally, in Hebrews 11:11, God says, "By faith Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise." Now, as you look at Sarah's life, she was obviously a great mother, or Isaac would not have turned out as he did. Now, we know that being a mother is difficult at any age and in any culture, any era, but especially at 90 years of age, becoming a mother, going through childbirth, all of that, how difficult, how challenging it must have been. And a lady with such unbelievable challenges has a great message for us all this morning, I think. In light of the times we're in, I think she teaches us some wonderful lessons. Sometimes the promises of God seem beyond belief. Certainly this promise to Sarah and Abraham was. And the only human response in promises like that, perhaps, is a bitter laugh, just like Sarah did. Her laugh portrays the scandal and the difficulty of faith. She reminds us that faith does not always come to us in the reasonable and measured voice of some white-coated scientist. Sometimes faith demands that we believe the impossible. A couple of wrinkled old-timers are going to have a baby. God will lead some slaves, a couple of million slaves out of Egypt in a miraculous way. A virgin will bear a son. A crucified criminal will rise from the dead. This story we're about to share this morning revolves around a question, a key question, a critical question, asked by the angel, the messenger of God in verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too impossible, too wonderful for the Lord? That's the question. We want to address that, talk about it a little bit this morning. Is anything too hard for the Lord? First of all, it's a question, I think, that requires an answer. It's a question because faith always requires a decision. The question demands an answer from us. Now, we're tempted, as we hear a question like this, we're tempted to answer too quickly and too superficially. For long-time churchgoers, people that have been in the church for years and years and years, it seems like a rhetorical question. We've heard all the stories before, and we want to eagerly reply, of course not. Of course nothing is too hard for the Lord. And yet for those who don't believe in God, they're tempted to answer that some things are impossible even for God, if there is a God. You see, the modern world has reduced God to a closed system of cause and effect. He may be kind, he may be benevolent, and he may be concerned, but he no longer is Almighty God who is in control. As we look around and see this pandemic throughout the whole world, many people are saying today, God isn't in control. If God was in control, why would he allow something like this? With all the people who have been stricken with illness and many have died. But you see, everything is ultimately stable and reliable. In the world, many think it's also utterly hopeless. But this was also the type of world that Abraham and Sarah lived in. Their world was a stable and reliable but hopeless world. But it was one in which you finally come to terms with barrenness at 90 years old. So it's a question that requires an answer. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? But it's also a question whose response is all important. This is a question that forces us to a deep reflection of what we really believe about God. As I've said before, I think one of the great things about this pandemic, COVID-19, that we're going through, is it's giving us more downtime, more alone time, more quiet and private time that really allows us to be more introspective and really consider, what do we really believe about God? What do we really believe is true about our God? So as we think about this, we must be careful not to answer too soon, because I think our entire view of reality depends upon how we answer it. You have on one side the overwhelming circumstances which we face. On the other side, we see the overwhelming power of God. So circumstances versus God, it causes us to consider, what do we really believe about God? If we answer that God, it is too hard for God, then we become hopeless. We become negative. We become discouraged and fearful. But if we answer with faith and we truly believe that nothing is impossible with God, we have a whole new view of reality. Then anything can happen, and the possibilities are absolutely staggering. Your circumstances do not control you. Your situation is not helpless and hopeless. But we have a God who's still in control. and the possibilities are endless. The world is not a closed system, but is a place where old women have babies, and millions of slaves can march through a sea, and the sides of it open up, and the people cross on dry land. And the dead rise again. The world becomes a place that is pregnant, pun intended, pregnant with unheard of possibilities. Life becomes, when you can look at it through faith, life becomes a true adventure. Not knowing what God will do, but it becomes exciting as you allow God to accomplish His will in your life and those that you touch. And I think it's significant to us today and very important that Abraham and Sarah leave the question tantalizingly unanswered. When the messenger said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" they never answered the question. You see, the question lights up the biblical sky like the path of a comet. The root word for too hard pops up again and again and again throughout the scriptures. Impossible, wonderful. You see it over and over and over again. It's fascinating as we read the scriptures to see the when and the how of how God works out miracles in our daily living. So is there anything too hard for the Lord? And there's another question. Another way to ask that question is simply this. Can the impossible be made possible? Can the impossible be made possible? Well, there's several examples, and I'll only give you four this morning where God made the impossible possible. One is in the life of Moses. Moses was a leader who led the Israelites out of Egypt, nearly 2 million slaves. He took them ultimately out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea. God sent miracle after miracle as he judged Egypt, plague after plague after plague. And when they got over on the other side of the Red Sea, God opened up the sea and they passed over. Here's what Moses said in Exodus 15, verse 11. "Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders?" Of course, no one's like God. Another story we find in Judges 13, verses 17 and 18. The man Manoah, who became the father of Samson, the great warrior, the great judge of Israel. And Samson's mother, Manoah's wife, was also barren. The angel came and delivered the message that she would now have a child through God's miraculous power. And Manoah, when he faced the angel, he said this, verse 17 of chapter 13 of Judges, "What is your name, so that we may honor you when your word comes true?" The angel replied, "Why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding." And certainly, isn't that true? God is beyond our understanding. So many of us try to figure out God. We try to understand what he's doing. We try to comprehend it all. But what God does and who God is far beyond anything you and I can ever understand or comprehend. Manoah certainly couldn't. Then we have Mary, the mother of Jesus. The angel came to her in Luke 1, verses 36 and 37. It says, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month." Here's Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, who after many, many years of barrenness, now through a miraculous power of God, she was now expectant. In her sixth month, she was going to have a child when she thought she never would have. And God goes on to say, "For nothing is impossible with God." Elizabeth had a child 6 months before Mary. And then God gave Mary, this little teenager, perhaps 13 years old, the Virgin Mary. God gave her a child through the Holy Spirit. Miracle after miracle. And then we read of the Messiah himself. In Mark chapter 10, 27, Jesus said, talked about how the difficulty of people who have a lot of possessions, a lot of riches, how difficult it is for them to look and see their need for Jesus and to trust him as Savior. And Jesus looked at the disciples and said, "Who can be saved then?" And Jesus said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Another story in Matthew 17, verse 20. The disciples had been trying to cast out the demons out of a young boy. They couldn't. Jesus came down and accomplished that feat. And they said, why couldn't we cast the demons out? And he replied, because you have so little faith. I will tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Impossible to possible. Unbelievable to believable. You see, when we have faith and we rely on God, then truly nothing is impossible. Not only for God, but also for us. And I know some may be sitting here today thinking, well, then all we got to do is believe and anything, we can accomplish anything. And you might say, is it really true? Are we given a blank check drawn on the bank of heaven? If we just believe enough that what we want can happen? Well, such a view is believed by some and is exploited by religious teachers who promise that everything is available to the one who believes enough. In other words, if you believe, 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 you can accomplish anything. There's no limitations. Well, let me remind you that God doesn't need our faith to perform the impossible. It's not dependent on our faith. As Sarah's laughter makes clear, she laughed about it, really didn't have the kind of faith that maybe you would expect. But God gave her this baby anyway. You see, realize this. What happened with Sarah and Abraham wasn't just any impossibility. It was one that fulfilled God's plan and God's purpose, you see. God doesn't go through and doesn't allow us to go through life willy-nilly, just performing all kinds of miracles as we want to. It all has to fulfill His purpose and His plan. And we don't have the power. It's God's power. It's God who does it. It's like when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before He went to the cross, as He's wrestling with the enemy and praying to the Father. He said in Mark 14, verse 36, He said, Abba, Father, everything is possible for You. Take this cup from Me, this cup of death. Take this cup from Me, yet not what I will, but what You will. Jesus surrendered His life, His will to the Father's will. So as we move from these examples, we see tremendous encouragement from God as we go through times like this. I will say to you that one thing, of all we've been talking about, how everything is possible, I will say to you that one thing is impossible, and that's simply this. God cannot go back on His will and His purpose to save humanity through the suffering of His Son. If you're listening, you're watching this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, realize that's why He came into the world. Jesus Christ came into the world on a rescue mission. Luke 19:10 says that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can trust Him even today, and He'll give you life everlasting. Because you see, obedience without a cross, or salvation without death, or newness without barrenness are impossible without God. You cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot be good enough to get to heaven on your own goodness or works or character. God tells us in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 that by grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. We cannot work our way to heaven. It's through the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you realize you're a sinner under the judgment of God, you realize that Jesus Christ is your only answer, your only solution. You turn from your sins and turn to Him as Lord and Savior. He said He would save you and give you life eternal to spend all of heaven, all of eternity in heaven with Him. Jesus said also, in talking about this humility, this death to self, He says, I tell you the truth in John 12:24. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds. Jesus didn't imply that we could write our own ticket with God. His was a non-refundable ticket to a cross. That night in Gethsemane, when he was struggling, going to the cross, he learned the secret of obedience to God's will and God's purpose. You see, resurrection will come only through the valley of the shadow of death. New life will come, but only through the death of the old self as you turn from your sin and yourself to Jesus. Well, it's all a struggle. In our pain, in our failure, in our barrenness, our sickness, our doubts, and certainly our fears this morning, we struggle like Sarah with the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? With all of our overwhelming circumstances, we wonder, is there anything too hard for God? Now we're in COVID-19. We're in this unbelievable problem and difficulty. We wonder, what's going to happen? What's going to occur in the days ahead? And I would say to you that the issue is not one of possibilities, nor is it an issue of impossibilities. It's simply this. It's the issue of God's will for this world and time and place. And perhaps God has allowed this pandemic to circle the globe because he's trying to get our attention. He's trying to get us not to look all around horizontally, but to look vertically, to see what he wants to do in our lives, to see the Savior, the love of God, to send his Son into this world to die for us, to take our sin to the cross. It's a struggle for us. We need to get in on the right battle, the right struggle. It's not what's the impossibilities or possibilities. The issue this morning is God's will. You see, we can leave here's the solution. We can leave his will confidently in his loving hands, just as Jesus did. Not my will, but yours, dear God. We can leave everything in his hands, like Jesus said, knowing that he will see us through, just like he did the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace. He can see us through all of this. Sarah learned how to answer that question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? She learned how to answer it by faith. If you'll turn with me to Hebrews 11, I'll show you how Sarah answered this question. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, it says, by faith Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Abraham, because he believed God, trusted God, followed through on God's promise, he's the father of many nations today. And it goes on to say in verse 13, all of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted they were aliens and strangers on earth. So we see the first thing that Sarah had in her faith was vision. She saw God as he really is. She kept her eyes on God rather than looking at her circumstances. Then it says, people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. Eternal perspective she also had. She knew that this world was temporary, this world would be passing by, but ultimately she would spend eternity with God. She was looking for that eternal home. Then it says in verse 15, if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. The third thing I see in her faith was abandonment. She abandoned herself to God. She left everything that was important to her in this world and just gave it mentally, spiritually, emotionally to God. And she gave herself to him. She abandoned herself to God. And then in verse 16, instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Lastly, in her faith, she made a choice, a decision to follow God wherever he led. This is the kind of faith I'm talking about this morning, a faith that has vision to see God as he is, that we live our lives with an eternal perspective, that we have an abandonment to him, and that we make a choice and a decision to follow him wherever he goes. That's the kind of faith Sarah has. That's the kind of faith God wants you and me to have, especially in times like this. It may take painful waiting, like it did them. It may take faithful patience, like it did them, like it did Sarah, and seeming abandonment. It's a lonely road, but in the end, God gives victory. God gives contentment. God gives joy. Because, you see, nothing is impossible with God. In due time, the child of laughter will break through the long wait of barrenness. You see, ultimately, she did have Isaac, whose name means laughter. She had Isaac at the age of 90. And the birth of this child broke through the long wait of barrenness. You and I, in our own time of barrenness and impossibility, we can praise God for whom nothing is impossible. Because you see, your life and the lives of others depends upon how you answer this same question. Ask yourself, is there anything too hard for God? Can God make the impossible possible? Because you see, to the infinite, all finites are equal. To the infinite God, everything's the same. There's no big or small to God. There's no easy or difficult to God. There's no possible or impossible to God. When it comes to God, there are no degrees of difficulty. He can feed the 5,000 with a few loaves and fishes as easy as he can provide a need that you or I might have individually. Nothing is too hard for God. It doesn't matter how many, doesn't matter how high, or doesn't matter how big is the issue. The issue is simply this: how big is your God? How big is the God that you worship? What can you believe this morning about God? I may be speaking to someone this morning who feels trapped in a lifeless marriage, or parents or mother of a children or a child that's turned away, friends who have forsaken you, finances that are shaky at best, jobs that are gone, perhaps forever, and fear has taken over. Worry and anxiety and concern just fill your mind. I tell you, just like we talked last week, God will see you through. Get your eyes off of your circumstances. Respond, don't run. Have faith, don't fear this morning. Believe, don't blame God today. Pray, don't panic. God will see you through. So I ask you, how big is your God? Nothing is impossible with him. Trust him. You'll be stronger, you'll be better, you'll be greater on the other side of this, and God will get all the glory in your life. Thank you.